Hey, Anderson with the still broken.
It's out of paper. I have no idea how to do it.
That's a stretch. Let's figure out how to put paper in the fax machine.
You want to come do a drill?
No. I'm just saying, it's a high-tech facility here. You know, I'm not blaming you, certainly.
No, not Anderson.
No.
But I do blame Anderson for the first answer, which is still broken. Still broken. Out of paper. So, like, if a vending machine that's out of peanuts is broken or out of peanuts?
It'd be out of peanuts. But, I mean, it was all, like, hate facts.
Ooh,
anyways.
You're sick, too, huh? You been sick?
Anderson's nice. Great. Anderson's backup is, it was just a bunch of negative stuff that would have brought you down anyway. All right, so fine. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. I gave the phone number, so forget about the fax number. I'm Adam Carolla, and tonight we have a very special guest in studio for a rare appearance, Dr. Drew. Now, you are a physician, correct?
Yes,
psychologist?
Yes.
No, physician.
Love doctor.
Love doctor. You work with kids.
How is Bruce?
I've seen your show on MTV. You are also, about addiction medicine.
This is good. You prep for my interview about as much as you prep for anybody else's. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, it's good to have you in the studio. You going to stay the whole 2 hours?
Didn't they tell you just leave me after the first hour?
Anna's not here and I didn't talk to your publicist.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Just the first hour?
Yeah.
You're doing Good Morning on Good Morning LA.
KTLA
tomorrow morning. Yeah. Got to get out here. I understand. Well, Dr. Drew, first go by his first name. Drew, your first name?
Yeah.
Drew will be with us here tonight in studio.
Whoa!
So, any questions?
Oh, my God! Somebody hold the phones! I can't believe that!
So, if there's any questions for Dr. Drew, now's the time to get him in.
But tell me about Bruce. How'd it go?
Bruce, Dr. Spaz.
Oh, did you abuse him again?
I've had anal sex and I passed out a couple times.
Oh, we left the mic hot during the commercial. He was sort of confiding in me.
You crammed it. You killed him.
We taped that. Bruce and I did, first off, Dr. Bruce and I did more socializing in the 5 days he was here than the 5 years you and I have known each other. Bruce came over to my house twice.
Oh, wow.
Once to nap, the other to eat and take a tour of the house.
The party house?
My house.
Your house.
And the one I currently live in. And we went to the Super Bowl of motocross Saturday night.
Wow.
Dr. Spaz was there. He was in full effect. As a matter of fact, one of his pagers is floating around my car right now.
Nice. So, why is he Dr. Spaz?
Why is he Dr. Spaz? You've seen him. You know Dr. Spaz.
Okay.
I mean, is there a better name for him? Listen, I was talking to Dr. Bruce about why he was Dr. Spaz, and I said, listen, there's certain titles that fit certain guys, like Blowhard. You cannot be black and be a blowhard.
Right.
You cannot be Hispanic and be a blowhard. There's no Asian blowhard.
Right.
Maybe if you go to China, they have an Asian, within that culture, but not here.
Right.
Blowhard, white guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Fat.
Mm-hmm. Right? Fat.
Yeah.
And our manager fits the criteria of a blowhard. He's a wonderful human being, but I'm saying...
Actually, he's not plethoric enough. He'd be red and, red and puffy.
He can turn red when he gets going. Okay. The point is in order to be a blowhard, you have to be between the age of 42 and 62.
68.
In the 60s.
Yeah.
You need to be at least 40 pounds overweight.
Oh, at least.
And you have to be white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes a blowhard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a spaz...
Spaz usually is like a young kid, though.
Spaz, you have to be spindly.
Yes.
You have to be sort of... herky jerky in your movement.
I wish I could have been there during this discussion. Bruce, let me tell you why you're a spaz.
Red hair.
I mean, poor Bruce. Any sense of how the things you say impact on other people?
No, I don't think about that.
No, I know that.
Red hair is good for spaz. There's not many, there's no black spazzes. There's not many like Italian spazzes. Good to be of an Irish or Nordic descent to be a spaz.
Yeah.
Good to be skinny.
Nice. Urkel is kind of a spaz.
Bony elbows,
right?
Bony knees. Urkel was as close as black gets to spaz.
I see.
But he was still more of a geek, which I think you can do. But spaz is a white guy.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Hmm. Now, who do you know who's more spazzy than Dr. Bruce?
By your definition, Bruce, yes.
Yes, he is a spaz. But he joined us Saturday night in Anaheim. We watched Jeremy McGrath, who will be coming on this show in a few weeks, win the first race of the AMA Supercross Series. We went back into Jeremy's new trailer.
Did you see his new 1-800-COLLECT commercial?
I saw his new 1-800-COLLECT. I talked to Jeremy's dad for a while. Dr. Spaz took some pictures with his digital camera. This is another thing that makes you Dr. Spaz, when you bring the digital camera to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then we went and saw Jeremy's movie afterward, and the whole nine yards.
Was Ray with you?
Nope.
I was going to say.
We had the rest of the guys, though. The Wheeze and Chris was there, and all the boys, we all, they were thick as thieves by the end of the night.
All
the
right.
Boys and Dr. Spaz. Had a Red Bull and vodka and passed out on the sofa while we were watching the movie.
Nice.
All right. So big night. And last night, he came over for some Thai food.
After the show?
No.
Before
the show, and we carpooled over here.
Well, I hope you don't expect any of that from me.
I absolutely do not. Francesca?
Yeah?
You're 16.
14.
Oh, 14. Yep. That's right. What's up?
Well, I was in my room, like, masturbating, and, well, I had the blankets over me, but, like, my mom walked in, but, like, I was quick enough to, like, you know, like, move my hands. So I don't think she really, like, saw what happened, but, you know, she's just been, like, acting really weird now.
Well,
is she acting weird, or do you think she's acting weird because of what you know?
Yeah, I think she's acting weird.
You think she's acting. Let's put the emphasis on who thinks who's acting
I
weird.
Think
she thinks.
She's projecting this.
Or her behavior is making mom act weird. In other words, Francesca is so freaked out that mom was like, hey, what's going on?
Well, what does she think you're doing? Taking a nap?
Well, like, you know, it's like...
Listen.
I want to know what she would have thought. Hold on.
Well, like, it was, like, when she caught me, it was like, you know, like around 9 o'clock. And like
at night,
yeah, and so like, you know, I usually just like, you know, just hang out in my room, listen to the radio or whatever,
and the lights were on.
Yeah.
And was the radio on?
Yeah.
All right. She doesn't want to believe you're
right.
Doing
parents have such high levels of denial about this. It has to be just, you have to crash through their denial or they ain't gonna see it. It has to be so obvious they cannot deny it to themselves.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to go, oh, it's nothing. I just thought I saw something.
My parents, interestingly enough, with the denial thing, only started after I became successful.
I thought they denied you'd been born.
No, they accepted that. Now they deny the fact that I'm literally a millionaire.
Yeah.
But Francesca,
yeah,
she doesn't know anything. And if she did know, she doesn't want to know.
And if she's freaked out by that, that's her stuff.
Yes.
You're not doing anything.
You're fine. Yeah, the radio going, you're a girl, you're 14. She doesn't know anything.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, Adam?
Yes.
I love you.
I love you. Were you thinking of me when you were, you know, with yourself?
Oh, of course.
Thank you.
Why?
All right, that's good. That's why whenever I used to masturbate in high school, I'd always keep a harmonica near me because it looks suspicious when you're under the covers, especially like me when my boots are hanging out from underneath the cover and I pretend like I'm sleeping. But if you have a harmonica... It's like you were doing something in bed.
I see,
you know?
Harmonica. Not a flashlight, not a...
No,
book,
harmonica.
A book handy.
Now, my parents wouldn't have believed
me. Yeah, you're right.
Reading?
Silly me. Yeah, I hope Bruce gives you a proper rash of ass.
No, he can't. He stutters too much. He can't get it out. Buck?
Yeah.
Buck, you're 21. What's up?
Yeah, I woke up the other morning and I had an erection. A morning
oh,
wood.
Shocking.
Yeah, but
let me get this straight. You got notepad here.
You're saying in the morning when you woke up as a 21-year-old male, you had an erection.
Wow!
Whoa! Get the medical community to study him.
But Adam, it lasted for 10 hours. It wouldn't go down.
Damn, bitch!
Do you were you on any medication?
Yeah.
What medication?
I take Prozac and Trazodone.
The Trazodone can do this more so than the Prozac. If you look at your Trazodone package insert, it'll talk about priapism, which is a painful, sustained erection. You need to call it. How much Trazodone are you taking?
100 to 150 milligrams.
Had you taken a larger dose that night?
No.
All right. You got it. Don't take it tonight. You go ahead and take your Prozac, but talk to the doctor that's been prescribing it, because it actually can be kind of a serious side effect. And don't be embarrassed to talk about it. It is really important that you talk to him.
You're talking about the package insert, that thing that's written on microfilm?
Yeah, the fraternities.
Where you have to use a jeweler's loop to find out what the dosage is?
Yes, and in fact, he can, if he wants to find the side effect, he can scroll through my favorite part where it's sort of broken down by organ system, skin, respiratory, cardiovascular, with about 60 different side effects in each organ system listed.
What percentage of people who get the medication read that side effect list?
A lot do, unfortunately.
And no, they don't.
Yeah, they do. And then they can't put it in any kind of context. It's just this scary list.
Nobody reads that.
Well, I can tell you in my world.
Well, your world of 110-year-old Jews who paid you because their filling came out.
Yeah,
please.
that there people read inserts. And I think it's good that they do, but they don't have a frame of reference to understand
I don't
it.
Condone reading. I believe it poisons the mind. John?
Adam?
What was I thinking about
you're
you?
You're 28.
Yes. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Listen, welcome back, Dr. Drew, by the way.
Thank you, John.
I have a question. I have a history of depression in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, she passed away last year from emphysema.
Hold on. Drew socked the mic at 10 minutes and 47 seconds into the show. And that's personal best.
49 seconds, 49 minutes, 10 seconds before the top of the hour?
That's right.
But
sorry.
This is,
sorry, guys.
Did you let something go in
no,
there?
No, this is smell addiction in this
really?
Mix. Yeah.
I thought you broke wind.
No. But,
all right. Go ahead, John.
But anyway, I have a hard time trusting psychiatrists or therapists and stuff like that. My mom had been through psychiatric treatment since I was a little kid. You know, she had a bunch of ECTs and
it's shock therapy,
right?
And all kinds of just stuff. She had pneumonia when she was she had overdosed on Thorazine.
All right, but
anyways,
yeah. Anyway,
I have a hard time trusting.
All right. So get over it, would you?
What I'm saying is that, I have trouble with depression, too. And
okay. Well, my instincts, my spidey sense suggests that maybe some alcoholism or something here, too.
In the family or?
Well, you and the family.
Oh, yeah. It runs rampant.
How the hell do I know that? Well, how do I know that?
Why? Because he sounds like Otis from the Andy Griffith show.
But John,
give me a break.
But here's what I'm going to suggest to you, that a more effective, perhaps, move for you, and one that sort of gets around the whole psychiatric care system, is go directly to a recovery program. Get an aide, call AA, have somebody come pick you up, go to some meetings, start bonding up with people who have the same stuff you have.
I was in the program for 6 years.
All right, well, make your old contacts, make some outreach calls, and get back involved. You called, I immediately knew it was addiction.
Yeah.
And you can't deal with any other psychiatric problems, particularly not depression, until the addiction is treated adequately. So get back in the program, and magically the depression may go away. And if it doesn't, you'll have plenty of support there. You'll have direction from your sponsor, and you'll have the ability with that support to go get the proper care.
All right. So now we're going to talk to Dan. What's
Dan?
Dan is what, 30? What's that say?
30,
Why does it say that, Dan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Are you 30?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's up?
Don't necessarily know if it's a problem, but on my 30th birthday, my beautiful young woman friend took me to a bar and got into it, and we'd kind of passed it back and forth just rather playfully.
Wait, I'm lost for some reason.
All right.
Who took you to a strip bar?
My girlfriend, my fiancé-to-be sort of scene.
And you had a lap dance that you went back and forth with?
Well, we actually spent about 3 hours there and enjoyed ourselves, had a couple bottles of wine, really kind of just enjoyed the evening. It was rather cool. And she kind of really got into it, actually.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. But
did you say you both got lap dances?
Yes, sir.
From the same person?
Yeah, actually. We ended up spending most of the evening with one girl.
Did you get, like, a simultaneous lap dance?
Yeah.
How does that work?
The dancer herself was rather professional about it. She had Carrie sit on my lap, and then she danced with both of us, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I like that buffer between the stripper's ass and my crotch, you know? Drew doesn't know what a lap dance is, or claims not to know.
An extended lap.
All right, so anyway, now what? You want a threesome?
Well,
And what's your girlfriend think?
Well, see, that's just it. She is, was pretty open to the whole concept, and introducing a third party in any situation can be extraordinarily dangerous.
So, yeah.
As opposed to, just going in blindly. Just some basic advice on...
Get two chicks in the same bed. Do them.
Yeah. All right,
thank
listen.
You, Ron.
Dan?
Yes, sir.
Who was that?
Ron Lester.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Speaking of No, yeah. Ron's not a blowhard, though. He just looks like
Ron's
a blowhard.
No, Ron's not a blowhard. He will be in 10 years. He's going to get his ID changed to be blowhard. Dan?
Yes, sir.
You think you're going to marry this woman?
Yes, sir.
All right,
don't do it.
It's going to cause trouble.
Don't do it.
It's not going to be worth it.
As close to the edge as you want to go is what you guys did. That's fine. Even that's going to eventually create a little tension. Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't violate boundaries. Don't put your relationships in risky situations. There's just no, unless you're just experimenting, you don't care. Fine. Enjoy.
Yeah.
I get accused of being like a party pooper and conservative and stuff. And my thing is, I wish we lived in a world where people could have threesomes and people could do ecstasy every day and enjoy, have a great time.
Yeah.
The fact is,
That's San Fernando Valley.
Yeah, that's what people do.
Right.
But I wish it was a world they could do it and remain healthy and remain intact and keep their brains working normally. It doesn't work like that. It destroys relationships, the threesomes, and ecstasy destroys your brain, and pot has its own side. I mean, this is just the way it is.
Well,
that's nature.
Listen, I had a very interesting conversation today with my partner, Jimmy Kimmel.
About your threesome?
Big Tad and Gary, my idiot savant carpenter, who works for me. Very heady conversation over some pizza at Jimmy's house today.
Yeah.
And we were talking about days of yore and pornography and how excited we were when on a weekend when we were 14, 15 years old, we knew some show was coming on cable. I remember the movie The Betsy. You remember that movie?
Vaguely. No, I do actually.
You do remember the movie The Betsy?
Yeah. I don't remember why I was in it.
I don't even remember what it was about, but I knew it had a brief boob scene in it somewhere in the middle
of
this three-hour movie.
Billy Jack?
We were talking about Billy Jack at length last night.
Yeah. What you'd go through to get to see
Chick
that
got
film.
Raped by the river. It was great. Huh. Yeah. I saw it when I was 8 with my mom and her hippie friends in a theater.
So. No.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
Is that before
or
after Papillon?
It was probably the same week. But what I'm saying is we were talking about how exciting it was back then, the thrill of the hunt, that there was going to be some nudity. On Monday, I was excited that on Friday I was going to catch the side glimpse of a boob as a chick jumped from the pool before she got into her bathrobe in the Betsy. And it was exciting to me. Now I have a mountain of pornography in my bunker, and it doesn't do that much. Not as much excitement as it was back then. And then, now quiet down, Drew, because I know you want to talk, but just hold your tongue there. Then we were talking about hunting. And we said, what's fun about hunting? I mean, if they took an elk and they chained it to a fence and you stood next to it and shot it with a pistol, it wouldn't be anything.
Yeah.
It would be considered cruel and unfun. What is it? It's the fact that you're sitting out in the woods for hours and hours and hours, anticipation of a moment that may or may not arise. And that is the exciting part. It's the same with all these sexual fantasies. The fantasy part is the exciting part. You planning it out and actually doing it, always going to be a disappointment.
Not all.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. That's retarded logic. You're right. No, what
the hell
you're
are
right.
you talking about?
No,
anyway.
You're right. We should have threesomes. I think I have a tumor. You're right.
I haven't gone too long.
Threesome's good. Yeah.
You'll be straight now.
No, you're right.
But
no, threesome's good.
You remember the movie Straw Dogs?
Yes, I saw Straw Dogs. Dustin Hoffman?
That was the other one.
Not Straw Dogs. That was a Wicker Man.
No, Straw Dogs. Straw Dogs had a scene like that. And I remember people talking about it for weeks after somebody having gone to see it.
Yeah. What year was Straw Dogs?
But here's the 74.
Okay, listen. We're going
to
get yelled at.
But here's the even more strange thing is that it's still, even thinking about going to see Billy Jack or whatever the hell his movie, it's still has a sense of excitement and arousal associated with it for you that for the 14-year-olds today, they'd be like, what was this?
So what's the moral of this story?
We're lame.
If you're going to marry this chick, don't have the threesome.
Right.
It's not going to be good down the road. Lindsay?
Or if you really care about the relationship.
Lindsay, you're 17.
Yes.
What's
Hi,
up?
How are you?
Good.
Good. First of all, Adam, you're my savior.
Thank you.
And you're very, very hot.
Hey, you're wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Yeah, my question was, since you're the self-proclaimed mayor of Boobville, what exactly is the role that Minka, the number one Asian big boob queen, has in your town?
Number one Asian big boob queen.
Hot bitches.
She would be, she would read all the proclamations that I sent down.
Number one.
She would sit there with a scroll and a big feather in her cap, and she would go, here he.
Yeah, okay.
On this date, ding, ding, ding. December 2002. It is hereby declared Now, I would make
her, this right here?
I would make her greeter. I would have her stand in front of the gate, the entrance to Boobville, much like a ex-heavyweight fighter stands in front of a casino.
And just wave.
And just greet the guests.
No. That's number one.
All right. Yeah, I got to ask Dr. Drew a quick question.
And answer any questions the guys might have, like what makes you the number one Asian big boob queen?
What's your other question?
Okay, yeah. I was wondering, I've liked this guy for 3 years, and he used to like me, but now he doesn't like me anymore. Mm. I still like him, but I'm not sure how I should go about getting over him.
You're fat.
Oh, Drew.
No, come
actually,
on.
I'm not.
Getting over him. This may sound cliche, but another guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried that, though, and the last guy I ended up dating, he kind of ended up using me.
Well, I'm suspicious that this guy that you're into for all these years is not so great either.
This guy liked you for three years?
Pardon?
He liked you for 3 years?
No, I liked him.
He was kind of for a while liked her, and she can't get over it.
Yeah, but when did he like you?
Right at the beginning.
When they were
like 14.
When they were 14.
And he doesn't like you anymore?
No, he doesn't.
You know, that's such a weird concept that mostly guys have.
Mm.
That, hey, this chick liked me at one point in her life when she, you know, suffered some head trauma, coconut landing on her head.
She thought she was Marianne.
Yeah, I mean, even as an adult, I haven't fully been able to grasp that this chick used to like me. Anyone who used to like me should still like me. I cannot really grasp that fully. I understand it intellectually. I can't feel it. But when I was in high school, forget it.
It's like lost potential. It's like that was a potential for the connection, and I blame myself for ruining it.
Well, I just
so I got to get it back.
I could remember being in high school, like a senior in high school, and thinking about some chick that may have liked me in the seventh grade, and still really giving it some thought. Like she should still like me. I just had a conversation with someone about that.
I'll explain it to you during the break.
All right. And as it turns out, it's worse. They like me less.
Yeah.
I'm not even.
It's because you're getting creepy.
Yeah, that's it. Creepy.
But you're coming at them a little bit. You're like, hey, we used to like me, huh?
No. It's just like I'm a car they sort of thought they liked, but they actually test drove and realized it hurt them.
When you're coming back around, as the clingy guy.
Thank you.
You see? Mm-hmm. And that's creepy.
I'd like to do a whole superhero called the clingy guy. Where I just hang on a girl's legs as they drag me down the street crying. And stop crime. Yeah, I said stop crime, Anderson. That's the superhero part. By tripping them. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to Brandon, who's 17, gets sexually aroused by cartoon characters. Well, speaking of my superhero idea. And he likes...
Popeye.
Oh, is that what that says? All right, we'll be back after this.
Loveline?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
Yep, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew, everyone, in studio with us. Actually, physically in studio for a rare Loveline appearance. Tonight might be a good night to get some of those medical questions. Again, he does... addiction medicine, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, this show wraps up by 11.
You're cutting out of here at 11. I'm going to go the next hour. I got one more hour.
Oh, it's a two-hour show?
2 hours.
You do 2 hours every night on this show?
Well, 5 nights a week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We're really seriously, three-quarters of the guests who come on this show, especially the ones who aren't real familiar with this show, they go, first off, they assume the show is on the night they're on.
Right, period.
That's how your brain works. Yeah. They come on Sunday night, they come on Wednesday night. Whatever night they're on is whatever night the show is on. And then we explain to them that it's on 5 nights a week, which is usually okay with them at the beginning of the show. But by the time we get to the end of the show, after like 150th rape and incest call, they're like, you seriously do this five nights a week? I'm like, yeah, they're like...
That is how the 11:20 break starts every night.
Yeah.
With the people taking the headphones off going, you guys do this every night.
It's not so much... It's not really a compliment. It's like, how high do you have to be to do this? And we thought you had talent before. Brandon.
Yeah.
17, what's up?
Not much.
You get sexually attracted or aroused by cartoons?
Yes.
Yeah. Shira, Lord of the Jungle, was that my favorite? Yeah. Yeah, that's hot. But you like Popeye?
Size of an elephant.
Sailor Moon.
You like Popeye?
No, Sailor Moon turns me off.
Sailor Moon, oh.
Yeah.
What's Sailor Moon?
Sailor Moon is sort of one of these Japanese films with the big eyes and sort of, you know.
Is it on the Cartoon Network or something?
Yeah, it's one of the places it's on, yeah.
I can't handle that Japanese animation. It's too weird for me. All those huge eyes and herky-jerky movements. Huge eyes and mouths the size of like a sea urchin.
Yeah.
Yeah, penny-sized mouths and huge eyes. Is that what they think of us over here? All skinny as hell and weird movement, and I don't understand any of that. If the sound was down, though, I think I could squeeze one off.
I don't know.
Yeah, all right, Brandon. Are you high all the time?
No.
Are you high now?
No.
You do smoke weed, though, don't you?
Yeah. No, okay. Come on, man.
Well, look at it. Do you pleasure yourself to cartoons?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a time and money saver. you should thank your lucky stars. All right, you're fine, buddy.
All right.
Except
all
for
right.
the pot part.
Yeah. Easy with the weed.
All right.
Listen, you know you're stoned when you're jacking off to cartoons. All right. Oh, man.
Oh, boy, Brandon.
Brandon, listen, I know it's kind of funny now, you being baked all the time, but later on in life, it's not going to be that funny.
There is ample evidence that when you start this around 15, which I'm certain you did, you actually lose part of the right frontal lobe of your brain. It actually shrinks down. There's good evidence for that. And that's the part of the brain you use to negotiate adolescence and development.
Well, listen, I mean, I don't know about brain shrinkage. I just know you smoke weed all the time. It makes you an idiot, especially when you're young.
Especially when you're young, man.
Anastasia?
Yeah?
What, do we got a bunch of weird Disney names tonight?
No.
Well, you're 15. What's up?
Like, the other day, I do videos, right? I'm under the age, too.
What?
I do videos.
What do you mean you do them?
Yeah, I'm in them.
You're in them?
Yeah.
For what?
Porno videos?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, at 15?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, boy.
Fantastic.
No.
Well, she's mapped out a career. And,
wow.
How's that work? You got a fake ID?
Kind of, yeah. Send other people that work there.
What do you mean, kind of, yeah?
Well, they made me one.
So you have a fake... You have a fake ID.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of, yeah, to me means, like, I got a fake ID, but it only says I'm 16. Okay, so you have a fake ID.
Yeah, and what happened was that...
Wait a minute. How long have you been doing these porno movies?
Just for, like, a couple of months. About 8 months.
How did you get into this?
What do you mean, how?
Oh, boy.
You know, like, details, or...
How do you describe how?
I don't know.
You could use words like mode, but then that'll get confusing.
How? Let me give it a...
What brought you...
Give it a...
Okay, Drew's going to look up how. What brought you into this life?
I thought it was interesting.
You thought it was interesting?
Yeah.
You always wanted to work with penis?
I like older guys.
You like older guys?
Yeah.
Were you raped when you were a little kid by an older guy?
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Where's your dad?
He's around.
Mm. Around where?
Downstairs.
I see. What do your parents think you're doing?
I have no idea.
Well, akin to? In what manner or way?
My friend's house or something.
Drew just looked up how.
Yeah.
All right. So your parents don't know you're doing this.
No.
Are you in high school?
Yeah.
And are you in the 10th grade?
Yeah, I'm in the CEC, though.
What's that mean?
California Correctional Youth. Something?
No, because what happened was I was locked up. And I got out, and they sent me to a CEC.
Oh, all right. Boy. What's the CEC? The
like a continuation?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those. It's not really school. It's more of a holding pen for stoners.
Yeah.
Yeah, my sister went to one of those. It's a petting zoo for stoners. We used to go there and pet the stoners. Hey, don't feed them. Don't feed them. No. One of them died eating a Funyun last year. Let's keep that away from them.
Hot bitches.
They get slopped at noon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was great. It was called Amelia Earhart. It was right on the corner of North Hollywood High.
She must be very proud.
And it was great. It was one of these great schools. It's like, it's a great approach to education, which is these are kids that can't handle structure, so we'll create a school with no structure, which is you call your teacher by your first name, you can smoke during class, and you come and go as you please. So how do you think that works? Wow. You know what I mean? Like, if you got a kid who can't handle structure, you put him in the Marine Corps.
Right.
You ram structure up his ass.
Yeah.
You don't back way off and see what he does. It's like, you got a kid who doesn't like to work, likes to smoke weed. Let's get him some snacks, give him the remote control, and leave him on the sofa. Eventually, he'll get with it. No, he'll get fat and watch more TV.
That's like sacrificing them. Really?
Right.
They're going to sacrifice these kids.
No one ever shows up at those schools. So what do you do? Go to school for a half hour Monday, Wednesday, and Friday?
At 3 hours.
3 hours?
Yeah.
Right. What, 5 days a week?
Yeah.
And what do you do? What do you call your teachers? First name or last name?
Last name.
And
things have changed now.
Yeah.
They're coming back into reality, by the way.
Yeah. And you go from what time to what time?
From 8 to 12.
Isn't that 4 hours?
Yeah, but like we have breaks and everything in between.
I see. And then after that, it's you have your work permits. You can make porn movies?
Pretty much.
I see.
It's really done like off the books. It's like...
You get paid cash?
Yeah.
How much do you get paid?
A lot.
Okay, hold on. I need my pen. I got to write that down. I've always been curious exactly how much underage girl gets in porn. As it turns out,
about
it's a
800
lot.
Or 900, like each video.
Each scene or each video?
Each video.
I see. And where do you make these? What city? Yeah.
In Hollywood.
All right. And how many have you made?
About seven.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you calling because you'd like to stop?
No, I'm calling because what happened was that we were making a video. And what happened was that one of the ants had walked in.
One of the ants?
Yeah, because I guess it was like we were doing it at a house.
During a picnic scene?
One of the males, one of the boys' ants?
Yeah, we were at a house, though. And I guess his aunt was supposed to come by and visit, but she said it was like she was from out of state. And it was supposed to be a couple of days later.
Oh.
When she came early, I guess.
Welcome home.
Yeah, I guess the door was unlocked. He walked in. We're like, damn.
He?
Yeah.
He, aunt? Aunt,
yep.
Aunt he?
What?
The male aunt?
Yeah.
Followed by Geraldine, the uncle? Hold on a second.
Yeah, this is neuropsychiatric, you know what I'm
saying?
Really? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think this is super, super stupid.
That's what I mean, like some fetal alcohol syndrome or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. We've had dumber people call this show at 15.
Yeah, but that's like, things aren't connecting right. You know what I mean? The wiring's off.
Well, yeah, but we have a lot of people that just talk about people as if you know them.
Yeah, but that's just
in.
That grandiosity. This is really like
really?
Concepts like ant don't connect. You know?
All right. Anastasia?
Yeah?
You understand that predominantly, not in all cases, but ant is more of a female role?
Yeah.
Right, that'd be like a female who came in, right?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so she came in.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We thought you said he for a second.
Oh, no.
No, she did.
Yeah.
And she was coming in from out of town.
Yeah.
And she saw the whole production?
She saw pretty much of it.
And like, what were you doing at the time?
Getting laid.
I see. You're having sex.
Yeah.
And so she saw this, and what did she do?
She was freaked out.
Can't blame her.
And did she call the cops, or did she threaten to do something?
She says she's seeing a lawyer right now, this and that, and this and that.
Good.
And the thing
well,
is
but,
that...
But wait a minute. Is this her house?
No.
She came in from out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's going to get the guys that were doing this to her.
Yeah.
How did she know you were underage?
Because, I don't know, I guess, like, I don't really know that. How
wait a minute. This is, hold on. This isn't your aunt.
Well,
this is
his
the guy
aunt.
Who owns the house's
yeah.
aunt.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
how did she know you were underage?
I don't know. I guess I looked younger or something, but I'm not sure. And so what happens is that she's saying that she's going to see a lawyer, this and that, this and that.
About you?
Yeah, and about the guys, because statutory rape or something like that. Mm. And so I'm just like,
all right, well,
what's going to happen?
First of all, where's your mom?
In her room.
What room?
Her room.
In your house?
Her room.
In my house, yeah.
Your mom or dad drank or do drugs?
No.
Really?
Was there anything, do you have any medical problems?
No.
Nobody, mom didn't drink when she was pregnant with you or anything like that?
No. No.
She didn't fall off a trapeze when she was 8 months pregnant or something
no.
like that?
You have no head injury history?
No.
Really?
Seriously.
And you've been in a psychiatric hospital before?
No way.
No way?
Mm. No.
And what's your dad do for a living?
He works at a designer company.
He works at a designing company?
Yeah.
What does he design?
He just, like, does, like, I guess, store, like, you know, clothing.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. I see.
Don't try.
Okay. And he doesn't drink. He never beat you.
No.
You were never raped.
Nope.
You were never molested.
Nope.
You don't have any older brothers or stepbrothers or uncles that felt you up when you were five?
Nope.
Nothing like that ever happened?
Uh-uh.
When did you lose your virginity?
When I was 13.
How old was the guy?
19.
When? When I lost my virginity?
Yes.
Yeah, remember the guy who was attached to the penis that was in you when you were 13?
19.
He was 19, the usual.
Drew said 19.
Yeah.
He's got that rap figured out. Mm. We're trying to figure out what why you're so screwed up.
I don't know.
You know, just that way? Just lucky?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, so can you stop doing these porno movies?
Yeah.
Why don't you stop that before you build up too big a library? My hope and dream for my daughter is that she does less than 20 porn movies by the time she graduates high school.
So the problem
is, you doing 8 in your freshman and sophomore year already puts you above that 20 mark. You understand?
Yeah.
If you were to keep going, you'd be up around 32.
Yeah.
So why don't you stop that? I know you must not feel too good about that, do you?
Not really, just the money that comes in. Mm-hmm.
Do people in high school know this? Does anyone at your school know?
Like...
That you do this?
Two of my closest friends, that's about it.
None of the guys have seen the movies?
Nah.
You ever see the movies somewhere?
I hope not. Mm-hmm. They haven't told me nothing.
Okay. All right. This is illegal. I don't know what our obligation is. I don't know what we can do about it. We can ask you to stop and tell you that it's very important that you stop.
And that you, I know you are sort of aversive. You don't want to get any help with the way you're behaving, but you really need to.
Yeah.
You're on a course that is going to lead to dramatic shortening of your life expectancy, your ability to get pregnant in the future, your ability to be effective as a parent,
well,
ability to hold a job.
We're not being able to get pregnant in the future.
I understand.
You counting that as a con?
Good for us, but for her, it's a con. And you really need to think about your life and get help with looking at why these behaviors are becoming so out of control.
Anastasia, listen to me, sweet pea. You know I'm a genius. I've been around. I've been around the world. I've been from North Hollywood to Van Nuys to Arcadia and back. I've seen it all, sister. And I can tell you, you're heading for trouble. I swear to Christ you are. Don't get pregnant. Stop doing these movies. Settle down. Don't do any drugs. Find Jesus Christ. Learn something and go off to college and have a good life. You can. Okay?
All right.
All right. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Did I tell her to go to college?
You told her to find Jesus Christ.
Find Jesus Christ and go to hairdressing school. I'm gonna refine
that.
Go to
junior college.
No.
It's Anastasia.
No.
Even for Anastasia?
No.
Oh.
No. This is somebody who thinks an aunt is a male and an aunt is a male.
No, my testicles got ants on it.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Matthew. His penis is bent. That's more like it. After this.
Hello. This is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
Hey. Yeah. Loveline. What band is this? Oh, Blink-182? Yeah. Good guys.
We haven't seen them in a while.
Blink-182 has not been on the show in a little while, though. I run into those guys.
I haven't seen them all
over
to
the
a
place.
Year.
Really? Well, yeah. That's recent for me, though.
Yeah.
Matthew?
Yeah?
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
My penis is, like, crooked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, if it were, you wouldn't be laughing about it.
No, I believe
it. No, I'm serious. Yeah, but I don't know if it's been like that for, like, my whole life because I've, like, not had erections for my whole life. And I was, like, wondering if, like, I could straighten it out.
When what do you mean you didn't have erections your whole life?
You know, like when you're little, you don't like get an erection.
You don't notice them anyway.
You get them; they just don't stick out far enough for you to see.
It's only crooked when I have an erection.
I see. And which way has it been?
Left.
Left. All right. And does it bend like? Does it banana to the left, or does it sort of dog leg to the left? Does it have a
hockey stick?
Does it have a knuckle in it?
No. It's like banana.
All right. That's
gradual.
A certain amount of that is normal. And unless it affects function, unless you can't get an erection or have painful erection, it's not something someone would typically correct. In order to correct it, they have to cut out a piece on the opposite side
of the curve of the band.
Yeah, they don't do that.
To bring it up, straighten it up right, but that, of course, shortens it, and you don't want to do that. About 800 units of vitamin E a day will help it, so do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Does it really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who did that study? That doesn't work. Would they put some... Hold on a second. What they do, use some sort of compass or some, and figure out the bend of a guy's penis and then put him on vitamin E and figure out that it's straightened out over a six-month period?
It's actually, I'm looking at the plaques that pull, that constrict it down to one side and the resolution of those plaques.
But not as it pertains to the penis.
Penis.
Really?
Yeah.
Vitamin E.
Vitamin E.
All right. Yeah. You'll see no discernible difference. I can almost guarantee that. Almost. But if you take the vitamin... You rub a little on the dork, though, right?
No, you just eat it. 800 units.
Okay. 800. Now, how many units is a regular vitamin E capsule?
400.
So, like, two of those a day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk to... we done with him?
Yeah.
Kristen.
Uh-huh.
You're 13. What's up?
Yeah. I have some problems at home with my mom.
With your mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's... Like, my whole life has been messed up ever since I was little.
How come?
So, well, just problems with my family. My dad was always away working, and every time my brother would come visit me, he would always try to, like, rape me and stuff.
What do you mean, visit you?
Like, every couple of months. And
where was he the rest of the time?
With his mom.
His mom.
Yeah. Well, my dad had been married, like, twice before that, and he had three other kids.
Huh.
I have two brothers and one sister.
Wow. Yeah, I'd like to put a bullet in his nuts, idiot. Where is he now?
With his mom.
Where's your dad now?
Working in Bastrop.
Hold on one second. Let me just say something. Just a quick heads up to all the Loveline callers. When I say something like, where is he, or how tall is he, or how much does he weigh, he will always refer to the last person we were talking about.
Always.
So if you're talking about Santa Claus, and I say, how long's his beard, do not answer with who.
Or say, you know, my dad's beard is 4 inches long.
What are you saying?
That they'll throw back to some other idea 5 minutes ago.
When I use the word he, it will always be the person we talked about most recently.
Huh?
My favorite concrete thinking response we got was the woman we asked why was her, she was like a 16-year-old, why is your boyfriend in jail? Well, he was with a group of guys. They had a gun. They pointed at someone and asked for stuff.
They wanted stuff.
They wanted stuff.
Yeah,
you only mean armed robbery? Well, you know, let's not label it. Kristen?
Uh-huh.
All right, so your brother is with his mom,
uh-huh.
who is your mom, too?
No.
No, so he's your half-brother.
Yeah.
And he's how old?
19.
And whenever he comes to stay with you, he wants to rape you.
Well, it stopped because I got to the point where I wouldn't allow it anymore.
Oh, so he actually did have sex with you?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And this is how long ago?
It stopped like 2 years ago.
I wonder if...
So it started when you were how... When did it start?
About 4 or 5.
So you
age
were...
Age 4 or 5. Wow.
Yeah. Age 4 or 5?
Yeah.
So... And this was continuing when he was, you know, 16 and you were 10?
Yeah.
Mm.
All right.
How awful. I wonder if the fact that she put an end to it alters the victim sort of role. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it couldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Hey, Kristen?
Uh-huh.
Does your mom or your dad know about this?
No, I never told anybody.
Why don't you?
Because I just didn't feel like they should know. You know?
Well, they need to know so they can help you. You need to get help dealing with this.
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
You do. You may not believe you do, but you do.
Listen, you were 5 and this guy was 10 or something.
It affects your brain development.
Disaster.
Yeah, it changes your whole system.
How are you doing in school?
Fine.
Huh?
Great, you know, I get good grades.
And you do?
Yeah, I don't have problems with anything.
Now, what's your living situation now?
Well, right now, I'm living with my mom.
And her 14 kids from a previous relationship?
No, I'm her only child.
I see, good. All right, so stay with your mom. I don't understand why this guy still comes to stay with you if you're dead.
No, he don't.
He don't. All right, listen, you get some therapy. You got to talk to someone about this. Tell your mom about this.
Yep.
And stay in school and go far away to college. And I hope your dad gets attacked by wildebeest. and eating a lot. I really, because he's a world-class jackass.
No, he's not.
He's spreading his goddamn seed all over the valley like Johnny Rotten seed. He's got a whole, what's he got, 5, 8 kids?
4.
Doesn't take care of any of them, and he's got the rapist for a son.
Well, that's not the only problem I have is my brother. I have a little problem with my dad, and I have a problem with my mom. And my sister, she's a total weirdo.
All right, besides your dad, mom, brother, and sister, your family's good?
No.
Oh, you see, there's a grandparent
real
in here?
Problems.
There's an alcohol.
I don't have any grandparents.
All right. They someone killed them
eating
in
my wildebeest.
Gambling argument at some point. Kristen, listen. Don't get pregnant. Keep your legs closed. Study and go far away to college. That's your job.
Every night. That's our
that's
answer.
That's your mission.
Every call, that's our answer tonight.
You understand, Kristen?
Yeah, but is there something I can do about my dad? Because, like, every girlfriend that he has, they're all strippers, and they all
know that. All right. Yes, he's a wonderful, wonderful role model.
Yes.
He's a wonderful husband, and a wonderful father.
He's just a dick.
Listen, hopefully he dies.
No.
Yes.
That's not something that I want. I love my dad very much.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. He's a dynamite individual. I'd love to really sit down and talk to him so I could take a wrench to his head. Idiot. And the saddest part is their daughters love them. All right. Listen, I'm going to go vomit. We'll be back.
Loveline will be right back. So get your problems ready. Ready.
Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. This is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, I spoke to his publicist during the commercial. He's going to stay on until the next break.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you got to do the KTLA morning show tomorrow. You got to get pretty early. What time's the car picking you up?
Yeah, 4:30.
4:30 tomorrow morning. I see. You got to be in makeup by 5?
I got up 6:30 this morning.
I see. And I know you're on a whirlwind tour and the schedule's tight and all that kind of stuff. We really appreciate you hanging out.
Thanks. Okay. Well, I'm having a good time.
Okay, but we do break at 11:20. It's a 20-minute.
I thought these were like 14-minute. Okay.
This one goes to 20.
Yeah.
Is it all right? Can you hang out?
Yeah.
The publicist says you can hang.
Okay.
All right. Let's just keep going. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's speak to Bridget, who's 17. Bridget.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, how are your kids, Drew?
They're great.
Good.
They went skiing, and they ski like maniacs. They're doing NASTAR races.
Ooh.
What races?
The slalom. I mean, on a course. Nuts.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm 17, and so for the past week, I've had some pretty regular sex. And then the past couple of days...
It's part of being 17, Adam.
Sure.
When I have been urinating, it's been slightly uncomfortable, and... kind of stings.
So you have a urine infection.
Yeah.
That's part of being sexually active for a female particularly.
Okay.
And you've got to get that taken care of. It's very easily treated. The problem is that if you don't treat it, that can ascend up into your kidneys and be very serious.
Yeah, I've heard that. So do I have to see a doctor, or can I take some supplements?
No, you need an antibiotic. You have to see a doctor.
Really? What about the old cranberry juice and all that?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
That helps prevent these.
Mm-hmm. Prevents it,
but it does
kill
not. But it will not. Once the bacteria are growing, they must be treated with antibiotics.
So does the blood come along with that too?
That's the degree of inflammation and infection that's going on. You might even consider going to the emergency room tonight.
Really?
You can become septic and die within a few hours if it really gets into the kidneys.
Well, there's only 50-50 chance of that. Why don't you go tomorrow morning, Bridget?
Okay.
If you get a fever, chills, or vomit tonight, you go immediately. Okay.
All right.
Thanks. All right, baby.
Bye-bye.
Good humping. You see how God pays you back?
Yeah, fuck him.
Oh. Where'd she go finishing school?
She said, F God?
Wow.
Hold on, is she there? Bridget? Pot her up. Is she still there? Come on, Anderson. What's up there, buddy? Is she there? Bridget? No, she hung up. All right. Well, I'll see you in hell, baby. Jesus Christ. F God. I said, you see how God pays you back? She goes, yeah, F him.
Is he your disciples, Adam?
Yeah. No kidding. Jesus Christ, I'm thinking of getting out of this whole atheist thing. I don't like the crowd. They scare me, these real atheists. Well, the funny thing is, she's probably Mormon or born again. Dennis?
Yes.
You're 22.
First, I want to say, Adam, I think you're a genius, and Dr. Drew, I really respect you for your medical knowledge.
Thanks. What's up, Dennis?
Okay, my question is, back in November of 99, I was involved in a major car accident. A drunk driver hit me at 90 miles an hour and basically ejected me from my car.
Wow.
Yeah.
What kind of car were you driving?
I was driving a 1970 Dodge half-ton pickup. He was in one of those little Geo Metros.
Oh, my God, going 90?
Yep.
Did he survive?
Yeah, actually, he ran away from the scene and was apprehended shortly thereafter.
90 miles an hour? There's that deceleration injury we usually transect
breaks
aorta.
Breaks your heart valve off.
He got really lucky. I don't know what else to say about it.
But. Well, what were you doing in your wheel? Were you parked?
No, I was driving. I was driving down the road, and he ran a red light and hit me in the passenger side.
He broadsided you?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, hold on. Let me talk to Drew. No way was he going 90.
Both cars would have disintegrated.
You drive a three-cylinder Geo Metro at 90 miles an hour
on a service street
into an intersection and hit a
half-ton
70 Dodge pickup broadside. You're vaporized.
Vaporized, yeah, that's what I would think.
No, they need the jaws of life to get your retainer out of your ass. Oh yes, they've used it for that before. Now listen, I'm sure this was a bad accident, and I'm sure the guy was doing 50.
Yeah.
Dennis, yeah. No way was he doing 90.
I don't have a clue what type of car it was. I assumed it was a Geo or something like that. A smaller type vehicle, than my truck.
All right. Well, anyway, you were hitting on the passenger side.
Yeah, and I basically was ejected.
So you didn't have your seatbelt on?
Well, the truck didn't come with seatbelts.
My God.
Really? 1970?
Yeah.
Didn't come with seatbelts. Interesting. Because trucks don't have to, for many years, have the same... adhere to the same codes that cars had. Anyways, so you were ejected. You landed on your head?
I don't remember. No. From the point of getting hit to waking up in the hospital, I don't remember
all
any
right.
of that.
What's the question?
From that point after, I've basically lost all ability to feel anything towards anyone. I don't really care about anything.
Is that you don't care or you can't empathize? They don't exist. You could hurt them and you wouldn't be bothered by that.
Well, I'm a very nonviolent person by nature, so I don't think I could hurt them, but I wouldn't care if they were hurt.
But you have sort of, again, let me clarify, is that you can't empathize with them, so anything that happens to them doesn't matter, or you have no feelings about them?
I can't empathize, and I have no feelings about them.
Both.
Like my family, I really I've lost contact with my family. I really don't talk to anyone in my family anymore.
No, I'm the same way.
Were you
I wasn't even in an accident.
Did you mistreat them? Did they?
No.
You just don't care?
Yeah, I just don't care.
Are you on medication?
No. Shortly thereafter, I lost my job, so I basically couldn't see a doctor or anything like that.
Sure. No.
I lost my job because of the accident. I wasn't able to perform my work.
You must have seen a lot of doctors around the time of the accident.
Yeah.
And they didn't put you on medication?
No. Basically, they put me on muscle relaxers and Effexor, which they said because it was for the depression that would set in.
Yeah. You have a girlfriend or anything like that?
I did, but we were going to get married 2 weeks after the accident happened, and... she basically went back to her boyfriend that's just getting out of prison. So,
how long ago did this happen?
It happened November of 1999.
And what about your family? Did they contact you?
Yeah, they called me. I was like, yeah, I'm doing okay, whatever.
They call you now?
Once in a great while, like on my birthday or Christmas or whatever.
Yeah, well, they're not that into it either.
No, not really.
Well, maybe just coming from that kind of family has made you the kind of person you are. Let me talk to Drew for a second. Mm. This guy blames everything on this accident.
Yeah.
Everything.
Mm.
But you know what?
It's a little suspicious.
I don't think it's all the accident. His girlfriend dumped him and went back with the ex who was coming out of prison 2 weeks later. Obviously, she was dicey. That was a shaky relationship.
Right.
He lost his job because he got in a horrible accident. I don't know what kind of job that was, and it obviously couldn't have been much of a career and shouldn't work that way. He has doctors who saw him all through the accident but didn't see him anymore.
Then family that doesn't give a
family shit. That he doesn't have any connection with, but they stop calling, don't seem that interested in him either. It didn't sound like much of a life before the accident, and I know everything's getting funneled into the accident, but these problems seem like they were there.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like there was some depression and there was some a history of
abandonment,
less than ideal family. Dennis, am I right about this?
Some of it. I was adopted when I was 9.
Oh, that's bad.
I was taken away from my mom because she's a severe drug addict.
Yeah, okay. Whoa, well, there's the depression, baby.
And she was using us as couriers.
Did you have a hit? Couriers?
Yeah, basically she'd have us bring the drugs to...
Yeah, but where was she putting the drugs?
Backpacks, whatever.
What'd you think, in his ass? Oh, Drew, what are you watching too many movies? Shut up.
Hey, listen, I worked at a county hospital.
No,
so that's some
you
weird
did
mess.
Not. You never saw any 9-year-old mules that had condoms filled with heroin rammed up their rectums.
Well, they'd swallow them sometimes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
And the thing about the career, you're wrong about that one thing. I had a great career going for me.
What was that?
It was in the medical field. I was working in the field as a pre-hospital care.
Right, but how great a gig was this that you get in this horrible, horrific accident and they can you?
Well, if you can't lift a patient, you can't work.
Yeah. Lifting patients?
Yeah, basically you have to put them on the stretcher and put them in the back of an ambulance.
All right, listen.
You can't do that.
You being a human forklift at the morgue is not exactly the fast track in the medical industry. But listen, Dennis, you got problems, and I understand that, but I wouldn't focus on this accident at all. That's something horrible that happened to you, but your whole life has been an accident. I mean, your childhood, being taken away from your mother, her drug addiction, the relationships you've gotten into. Yeah. These are all things that you need to examine.
Being able to have feelings and have connection with other people are major issues for you, no doubt. And maybe the trauma of the accident re-triggered some of this, and certainly head injury can affect mood and certainly can affect personality and certainly could affect your ability to have feelings and regulate feelings, but God knows the impact of being a mule of some type to ferry drugs for the drug-addicted mom and ultimately being a foster child, I mean, that is profound
yes.
abuse.
All right. So, what's he do?
Too bad he's not an addict. I could help him if you were also, which he may be. He isn't going to talk to us about that.
No, listen, I don't even know where to begin. I like to shake him like an Etch-a-Sketch and just start over. Dennis, can you work now?
Yeah, I'm actually working right now.
What are you doing?
Security.
Uh-oh. All right, do you have anyone? You have friends you can turn to?
I have a roommate. That's about it.
All right, you need to make friends. You need to find a woman. You need to participate in life. I know it sounds trite, but you need to do it. You need to get out. Forget about the accident. You got to get some therapy. Go to the library and hang out. Take long walks. Listen to classical music. Watch a lot of PBS. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to begin.
You get recovery programs again. You get great connection with people like this.
All right, but here's what I want to say. We talk to people all the time that have horrific lives, and there's one event in their life that they focus on, and they channel, and they use as an excuse for all the things that have happened in their life. This accident ain't it. If you had a family that loved you, if you had a mom that you weren't taken away from, if you had a great career, if you had a thing, you have a great woman, you would have knocked on your ass for a few weeks, a few months, and then you would have been back into your life.
The accident certainly is a symbol for his life, though.
Right. Emily?
Yeah.
You're 27.
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I'm a recovering prostitute and a recovering drug addict, and I've recently been married, and I have 3 children from a previous relationship, which I have not told my husband about. And
hold on, stop. He doesn't know about your children?
No.
So where are they?
They've been adopted out throughout the family.
Well, that's good. All right.
Does he know the other family members?
Not really, no. We didn't know each other long before we got married.
Why is that?
Well, we met through the internet and got married like 72 hours after we met each other.
Very, very normal, very healthy behavior.
Let me, let's explore your recovery for a second. What did your sponsor say about this?
I didn't go through any, like, NA or AA.
Okay, so that's not recovering.
Well,
that's just
I'm seeing a private therapist. So,
well, what did your therapist say about this behavior?
That is not healthy.
Yeah, and so you're really not recovering. You're just sort of in limbo. You're sort of between being a prostitute and engaging in other kinds of destructive behaviors.
But yeah. Anyway, my question was,
and what's up with your screwy family?
Well, they're all screwed up just as bad as I am.
Yeah, great. They're raising the kids now?
Yeah, basically.
Nice.
There's a plan.
Well, you know, it was better than them being with me and putting the situation.
All right, yeah.
Different.
Take the kids to the S factory that churned you out and let them see if they can weave a little of their magic on the kiddies.
My question.
Genius.
Okay, my question was, should I tell my husband about the children or should I not?
How long have you been married?
3 months.
Annulment.
You are as sick as your secrets. Just let that ring in your head.
It is.
All right. Listen, can't you get an annulment?
No.
What's this guy do for a living?
He's in the Navy.
All right. Are you done with your prostitution?
Absolutely. I have been for 7 months now.
What changed you?
I didn't want to live that kind of life anymore. I was sick with myself and sick of the behavior.
And what happened that scared you?
Excuse me?
Something happened that really scared you?
Nothing happened that really scared me. It was just the behavior was disgusting. I was sick with myself.
Well, listen, I never saw, I never knew any prostitutes, but I did see the movie Night Shift. I know it's a fairly lighthearted romp for a career. Is it a good time?
No, it wasn't.
You see in the movie, Henry Winkler.
Yeah, I remember the movie.
But it's not like that?
No, it's not like that.
What was your drug of choice?
Methamphetamine.
When was the last time you used it?
8 months ago.
You still smoking pot?
No, absolutely not.
Alcohol?
Shelley Long.
I drink occasionally.
Yeah.
All right. Is there addiction in your family?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My mother's been recovered for about 10 years now from crack cocaine, and my father still uses from what I know.
Great. Doing a wonderful job with the kids, I'm sure?
My mother is, yeah.
Where's your dad?
I have no idea.
Good. I hope someone puts a bullet in his head.
So do I.
Good. Who raped you or molested you or whatever?
No one did, absolutely not.
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody ever touched you or anything or exposed you to...
It was an abusive household.
Nobody exposed you to pornography or anything when you were a kid?
Yeah. No, it was more abusive emotionally and verbally than physically.
Look, I look at me not being exposed to pornography as an abusive household.
you're trying to make up for that.
I'd expose myself to the bra section of a Sears catalog like an animal. You understand? Like an animal in the jungle. Hey, does your husband know about the prostitution?
He does, but we don't talk about it.
Sure that'll go away.
Yeah, jeez.
Okay, listen, you promised me no more kids.
No, I'm on the Depo-Provera shot. So.
Good. Who put you on that?
I did.
Good girl.
There's a combo shot out there now that has estrogen and progesterone. For those of you that have unpleasant side effects from the progesterone, you know, they get irritable or their libido goes down, that kind of thing, which is kind of common.
Right.
Add that estrogen in if you feel like it. If you talk to your doctor about it. But this therapist that you're seeing, is he or she familiar with people that are coming out of prostitution and addiction?
Yeah, he knows everything about it.
No. Not about your experience with it. Is he an expert in that field?
I'm not quite sure. I haven't asked.
All right. Hey, how do you afford the private therapist?
How do I afford it? Well, my husband makes good money in the Navy.
He does?
Yeah.
What's he do, smuggle booze?
No, he's a high-ranking officer, actually.
He is?
Yeah.
What's his rank?
I'd rather not say.
Just
in case he's listening this evening.
All right.
General?
No.
Admiral?
No.
Rear Admiral.
All right. That's one of the movies she did before she got into prostitution. Rear Admiral. All right, Emily. Enjoy yourself there, baby.
Thank you.
Hey, good time.
Good luck.
Hey, listen, you take care of those kids. You hear me?
Well, I really have no contact with them.
I know. Okay, but you got the baboons who raised you raising them.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't bother you at all?
It bothers me extremely, but I don't know what to do about
it. Are any of them boys?
Excuse me?
How many of them are boys?
One.
All right, we have to kill the boy. Because he's going to be a criminal. He may kill one of my sons. You understand me? I hold you personally responsible for all the crime that's committed by that kid. Now, are they all living with your ex-junkie mom?
No, one's with my mother, and the other two are with their father.
Their father?
Their father, yeah.
The John who knocked you up?
No, he wasn't a John. He's recently remarried and has a wonderful wife and a wonderful family.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why aren't all three kids with him?
Excuse me?
Why aren't all three kids with him?
Because all three aren't his.
It's a stupid question. Yeah. All right, what's he do for a living?
He drives a truck for a local trucking company.
All right. So he's on the fast track.
Wonderful.
All right. All right. It's all relative.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Emily? Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Lie to your husband.
Stay with the therapist.
Can,
right? Just bring your husband to the therapy session sometime.
And by the way, you meet some chick over the internet, you get married 72 hours later, this is what you get. You know, on the ride home from the chapel. Oh, by the way, FYI, you knew my hobbies. Skiing, equestrian.
Sailing.
And taking long walks on the beach. It turns out I was a prostitute and I got three kids.
Don't! And I was strung on speed for 10 years.
Strung on speed. Dad's crack addict. Fantastic.
Drive on.
Anyway, Penny, for your thoughts. Let me tell you something weird about, we had that call, the guy was thrown from the car.
Yeah.
It just struck me as strange. I was talking to Gary. Gary's the Rain Man, the idiot savant carpenter I work with. Mm-hmm. This guy's he's in his 40s, nicest guy in the world. He's a good carpenter, good Finnish carpenter. We work together all day. Mm-hmm. That's who I hang out with. We build cabinets and work in my garage. Mm-hmm. And Gary's a very simple man, lives in a trailer.
Oh, I remember this. You talked to this guy before with the wife.
With his ex-wife. An 18-foot long by 5-foot wide trailer.
He takes care of her.
Takes care of his ex-wife who can't find a new place, even though they've been divorced for a year. Has to live in essentially a prison cell on wheels with her. Okay.
And she's hell on wheels, right?
She's a mess and a half, and he's the world's nicest guy.
Right.
So, I was talking to Gary yesterday while we were building some cabinets, and I like Gary. Our deal is I pay him, he listens to me talk, and he agrees. That's our relationship. So I said, he was talking about, I was telling him about high school sports. You know, I was telling him one of my football stories. I've told him the same one like 35 times, but he doesn't care. He's on the clock. And he says, I didn't play football in high school. I wanted to go out for the team, but my dad said football was too dangerous. I said, that's interesting because you told me in another conversation that you always rode motorcycles, that you bought your first one when you were 15, enduro, street bike. I mean, a street legal bike, and you went from one enduro motorcycle to the next, and you rode bikes from 15 to 25. He said, yeah. I said, your father didn't, he worried about you playing football, but he didn't worry about you killing yourself on the motorcycle? And he goes, and here's a guy who has no sense of humor, by the way. And he goes, I did kill myself. And I started, I started laughing. You know, I said, hey, good one, Gary. And I was thinking, this guy never makes a joke. What's he talking about? And he goes, no, I was clinically dead.
Oh,
and I thought, oh, you did kill yourself. And he said, yeah, I was dead. How long? About 20 seconds. I was on the table. So what happened? So I was hurrying home. I was 16. I was riding my enduro motorcycle. I wasn't wearing a helmet. Car turned left in front of me. Clipped me and went flying. Broke my wrist. Cracked a few ribs. Punctured a lung. Whacked in the head. I was on the...
This is why he's living with his ex-wife.
I was on the table. I was thinking to myself, ooh, this explains a few things. Yeah. I was on the table, and my heart stopped. I was dead. And I thought, well, that's nice. And then I thought, well, you really did illustrate my point, didn't you, Gary? You rarely get that kind of satisfaction, that kind of payday, when you're trying to make a point about your dad worrying about you going out for the football team. You're riding a motorcycle. In the 10th grade, you're clinically dead from riding the motorcycle. And I said, yep, that's exactly what I was worried about happening, Gary. See what I mean? I hope you learned your lesson.
You could have killed yourself, and you did.
You know the beauty of Gary? He was hurrying home because he wanted to ask his dad for a loan to get a bigger bike.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, when he got in an accident. And then I said to him, did you ever get the bigger bike? And he said, right out of the hospital. Still had a forearm cast on when I was on that 750 Triumph.
He's an addict.
Nope.
He's an alcoholic. Yes,
nope.
He is.
Nope. Well, he is drunk when I call him at night.
Yeah, thank you.
He drinks a few beers at night.
He's an alcoholic.
Listen, how dare you?
Alcohol,
how dare you attack my help?
I'm not telling you. It's just that only alcoholics do that kind of S.
All right. No, he didn't say that. No, he didn't do that. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll speak to Bill. His wife has juices when she has an orgasm and it burns his sack.
Yikes.
After this.
Hello? Who is this?
This is Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Hey. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's see how back on the phone. Speak to Bill. Bill is sturdy. Bill's wife does the juicing. Bill?
Yes.
Your wife churns out some juice when she orgasms?
It's basically, well, you know, to be having sex, and when she has an orgasm, it drips down, lands on my scrotum, and it burns.
Yeah, it's like that movie Alien.
Yeah, kind of.
And just, then it burns, it drops off your nuts, burns a hole through the mattress and the box spring, then the floor, then down into the basement. Just keeps going.
Not that bad, but enough to where I want to jump up and get something, a moist towel or something, and wipe it off.
I see.
Do you have any other testicular features, like a yeast or fungus or anything, jock itch, anything like that?
No.
Is she of Hispanic descent?
What the hell are you asking?
Well, she's a lot of everything.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, those Mexican ladies are hot tamales.
I see. The capsaicin in their blood.
It's like pepper spray comes out of them.
That's nice.
Yeah. It'll blind you if you get down there.
Could be a new
enough
self-defense move over here.
Hey, Bill, does she have to be on top to have the orgasm?
No.
How about you get on top, give her the orgasm, and then it drips on her ass and burns her?
It doesn't seem to bother her. It just...
That's the point.
When, you know, it gets quite moist down there, and when it lands on my scrotum sack, it's...
I think what he's saying is
like an acid,
he's going to get it no matter what, is what he's saying.
It's going to spray out no matter what?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but when it does happen, it is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are... It
ruins the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The sack, we've never heard this question before.
Yeah.
The sack is very porous, though. I remember after cleaning something in gasoline, scratching my nuts once and feeling a burning sensation in my groin.
Your point about her, then?
My point about her is, why, did I have a point about her? She's a high test, they say.
High grade.
I would take myself a lobster bib, a mini lobster bib, tied around the base of my penis, letting it dangle over my scrotum.
Does it have to have one of those lobsters on it? You know, the pictures?
No.
It could just be any kind of bib, then.
Well, map of the continental United States.
Baby bib? Those little terry cloth ones?
No, I'll tell you what I would use. You see in... Hockey goalies use that clear piece that hangs down to protect their neck. Now catchers in baseball have that little attachment.
Too big.
Not for me.
I know you're
huge.
I know,
huge for nuts.
The average testicle is not near. That doesn't have the hang.
How about using a small shoehorn with a pipe cleaner that's twisted around the base of your penis, letting it dangle in front, creating
a
shield?
I just think the baby bibs with the little snaps at top and the three blocks on them, ABC.
Right. Well, a powder blue teddy bear.
Yeah.
How about that?
I'll also just keep a wet washcloth at the bedside and just wipe it off quickly.
Yeah. Hey, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you get a little bib? I think it comes in Barbie's, you got to buy like Barbie's Winnebago or something, but there's a bib that comes with that. You tie that around your base, your penis, you let it hang down. Or there's actually, I got an idea.
The grommet could have a flap.
The love grommet?
The grommet could have a mud flap.
Not bad. Not bad. I think about how that would affect different positions. There's a there's actually a gel, like Protectoderm. I did an infomercial for it once, where you rub it on your hands, and it stops stuff from sticking. Meaning you put your hand in motor oil.
Yeah.
Could you rub that on your nuts? You know the stuff the kind of thing I'm talking
about?
I've
heard of that. I don't know what it's made of. And it probably is heavy petroleum based, right?
Why doesn't he lube up his nuts with some Vaseline or something just to protect it, clog the pores a little bit?
Might be using condoms.
Wesley?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
Yeah. I was dating this girl, and is actually only on the first date, but she has some heavy problems, really big codependency, some family problems. She was in a ballet as a kid, and so she was bulimic when she was like 14. Great stuff.
This is a Loveline listener, by the way, Wesley. Is
good.
Going through our usual criteria here.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to the show for like 5 years, so thank goodness, thanks to the show, I haven't actually had to call in until now, mostly because of educated myself through the show.
Right, it seems like you chose one carefully based on the kinds of concerns we have.
Yeah, well, I try to choose carefully, but this one kind of jumped on me and attacked me without mercy, so...
Well, what's your question?
Well, she attaches pretty quickly, and now she's, you know, in pretty deep, and I'm worried that if I cut this off right now, you know, quickly, she's going to think it's because...
Have you had sex with her?
No.
Good.
You went on one date?
Yes.
All right. Nip this in the bud.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of worried because now that she's told me about,
you know, all of her past stuff.
Yeah, you have the codependency issues, not her.
I do.
Yes.
And listen, whatever it is, it's going to be worse down the road. Well, however much discomfort you're feeling now about breaking up with her, it's going to be worse.
We'll see.
Whatever it is, it's going to be worse. So do it now.
Okay, well, just my thing is that I have a feeling that she's going to think that I'm doing this because of things that happened in her past, and I don't want to.
No, that she's 100% right.
Well, I mean,
isn't that why you're doing it?
But I don't want to. I mean, I don't want to make
it
a
sensitive that.
Issue for her.
All right, yeah. Listen, you tell her you broke up with your ex-girlfriend, and now she's going through a bunch, and it's just not the right time.
Okay.
Listen, would you make up some BS? Just BS, would you?
The longer you stay, the longer you stay with this, the more chaos, the more painful, the more difficulty this
yeah.
can produce.
Yeah, it's always funny too when guys try to use that kind of chick BS. I just went through a pretty rocky breakup, and it was only 6 months ago, and I'm just not ready to date right now. No. You're great. You're fantastic. You're sensual. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Any guy would be blessed to have you. It's just where my head is at right now.
I'm not open to girls right now.
I'm just not open to girls right now. I just want some time for me right now to basically sit home in a bully base, my own semen, jacking off to the thought of other chicks I had sex with once. And I just need some time for me. And listen, ladies, if a guy wants to break up with you or is not interested in a second date, he ain't interested in you. Even if he's married, it's you. If a guy ever feeds you that, you know, right now I'm at sort of a crossroads. I'm going to be going to junior college next semester. Work's pretty hectic. I'm working long hours. Anything. I got some shrapnel in my head from Vietnam. Anything he uses for not going out, forget it. It's all you. He ain't into you. He don't want a second date. I know it sounds painful. God's honest. And I guess women do that too. Although for them, I think it's about 85%. For guys, it's 100%.
Well, what else would it? Oh, I mean, women actually could have an emotional unavailability. Well,
right.
Men, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
The penis will function.
Right. Now, as a guy... As a guy, I think as you get older, you sort of smell trouble.
Mm.
Maybe you can do that. I've had that situation. Did I tell you that bizarre conversation I had at a party?
No.
It was like a year ago.
Yeah.
I was single, and a very beautiful woman came up to me.
Oh, yeah.
Did I tell you that?
That party?
It was Kathy Griffin's party,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And she came up to me, and... She basically asked me to, like, come over and hang out and have sex and stuff. She was really hot, but I just didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
And she was going, well, you're a carpenter, right? And I said, yeah. And she goes, well, you can just come over to my house and, you know, I got a few problems. I want you to help me fix around the house. And I would say, listen, I'll come over to the house. Next thing you know, we'll be having sex. So I didn't want to go there.
You said that?
Yeah, and she goes... No. I mean, we could just go out and just be friends. No. Listen. I know how it works. I became a woman. It was funny. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to be over there to look at your door that's dragging or your threshold that needs to be replaced. Next thing you know, I'm going to down a few beers and we're going to be getting it on. It's not going to work. I need space right now. That was the only time I ever meant that. Usually, it's 100% BS.
You had your ovaries removed at that point?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was lactating.
Yeah.
All right, we will take ourselves a little break here. When we come back, we'll speak to Michelle. She wants to know if there's a test to see if she's had a miscarriage. I don't know about that, but we'll get the answer to that after this.
Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
Dip. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. Very special in-studio guest tonight, Dr. Drew, co-author of the Dr. Drew and Adam book.
A Guide to Love and Life.
Dr. Drew has been serving the Pasadena area, in Loma Linda area, helping helping.
Loma Linda's where Bruce worked.
Oh, it's for Bruce. Oh, a regular doctor. Yes, a regular doctor, Dr. Bruce from Loma Linda area. You're the Pasadena area mm-hmm. and Altadena area, mm-hmm. Working with. You do sex therapy.
No, I'm the love doctor.
Oh, the love doctor. Yeah, that's, yeah, right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And some addiction medicine. Right. So he's going to stay the full hour. If you have questions.
Is that 11:43? What time does the show end?
It's 2 hour show. We do a 2 hour show.
You do every night?
We do it Sunday through Thursday night.
Oh, my God.
For 2 hours.
This is such a good show.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah. This is really, can I come back?
Sure. You're doing a great job. We've been on the air for many years here in Southern California, especially. No. Michelle?
Yeah?
You're 16.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a question for the doctor?
Yes.
What's up, Michelle?
When I was 14, I started having sex with an 18-year-old. And about 4 months into it, we kind of, broke off and didn't really talk to each other. Nothing big happened, but we just kind of drifted apart.
Yeah, he went off to college.
Huh?
He was he got pulled into Vietnam. Mm.
No,
I see.
And
he just drifted apart. What a wonderful human being. 18. And, you're 14. He's 18.
Yeah.
He's out of high school, and you're in the ninth grade.
Yeah.
Eighth or ninth grade.
Ninth.
Yeah. Think of what a colossal idiot that
is. World class prick.
So. Now I have a question about something that happened then because I'm more concerned now. Mm-hmm. And a month after the last time, I didn't have my period, and the next month, and then the next month, and there were 4 months. And I don't know if it was the worry or not, but I was getting sick in the morning. I gained weight.
There was a foot sticking out of her vagina at one point. Just wondering if she was pregnant.
And just my intuition, there was not a doubt in my mind.
All right.
Definitely thought I was pregnant. But then I had my period. But it was brought up.
Did you name it?
No. I was too scared. But and I was wondering if there's a possibility that I had a miscarriage. And if there are.
At 4 months?
Not at 4 months. I mean, your period wouldn't have been a miscarriage at 4 months.
You would have seen something. You would have seen tissue in 4 months.
Okay.
You understand?
No chance.
No. No, not that there's no chance.
How stupid are you?
I'm not very stupid.
How long ago did this happen?
What, you say moderately stupid?
No, I'm on a roll, active in school. You totally wouldn't guess.
All right. But what I mean is if you had 4 months worth of fetus in you, you couldn't just... dab that up with some toilet paper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you would have seen something, unless the thing is, clung to the inside of you somehow and is
still there,
fossilizing.
Which can happen.
Oh, yes.
And so it is important that you get a pelvic exam, make sure everything's okay. But there's no way, if everything's out now, to test for it that far, that long ago.
All right, Michelle.
Okay.
You have a new guy?
I have a long distance thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Where does he live?
Seattle.
Oh, where are you?
I'm in the Sacramento area.
Bill Gates.
That's not that far, but it is when you're 16. How old is he?
35.
40?
He's 17.
All right, good times. Don't tell him this story.
He already knows.
All right, good times.
He's been there for the whole thing.
Yeah, great. Nice. Listen, okay, thanks. Let me tell you something. Guys spend entire relationships keeping things from women, and women tell guys stuff, all the junk, all that horrible stuff. And when you're 17, it just screws with your mind. As a guy, you know what I mean? You remember the first time? Remember your girlfriend? You're in love, and she's talking about, my step brother used to come into my room? And you're like,
no, God, no.
What, God, no.
But then you're like, yeah.
What do you mean, come into your room? Well... he was a few years older, and he was he's going to military school, but he used to come stay with us on weekends. And so he used to, come into my room, and it's like, but we didn't have sex. But I just blew him. you know, and then he used to like to play a drum while I blow, and it's like they start giving me this like weird stuff, and he played the snare drum while I gave him oral, and he used to bounce the drum on my head while I, and he'd be like,
you're thinking, I'm going to kill him, I'm going to get him.
No, here's how the thought goes: I'm going to kill this guy, and then you go, wait a minute, I'm going to kill myself. No, wait a minute, I'm going to kill you. Oh Christ! Oh screw it! But it's like, why did you? Come on. Listen, girls, I don't know. I haven't said it in a while. Don't tell guys all the weird ass you've been through. Don't tell them that the 26-year-old guy you were with when you were 11 for 3 years. Don't tell them about the affair you had with one of your dad's work buddies when you were 17. Don't tell them about that time you basically effed your way through Europe when you were backpacking as a junior in college. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. Don't tell them about the miscarriages and the abortion. Don't tell them. You're allowed to say you had other boyfriends. Don't get into anything specific, and don't get into all the weird stuff. It freaks the guys out. And every time, it's the same reaction. Oh, no, I want to know. No, it's cool. No, it's good. I got to kill myself. Am I right, Drew?
Yeah.
I mean, is there anything that you ever wanted to know?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
But then you're always asking.
You're always asking like a retard. And now I'm 36. I don't want to know anything.
You never got anything you wanted.
Really. Listen, I go on a first date. The chick opens her mouth. I'm going to have... No, no! I just went... No!
Just wanted the salad.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Salad? All right. But that's it, right?
Now,
yeah. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Monica?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes.
All right, what's up?
Okay, like, I have, like, one breast, like, really larger.
You have one?
Yeah.
One breast is large.
Yeah, larger than the other, like, you could totally tell.
You're 18.
Yeah.
And you have a third that's in between?
No.
No.
It's very common.
No, you can really tell, like, when I wear
t-shirts. Right, it's very common, Monica, and it's one of the more common problems that plastic surgeons are asked to deal with. And you're still 18, you might wait a couple more years, there could be some change with time. But if it's something that really bothers you, it's something that can be corrected.
Okay, like, in the larger one, I get really bad pains, like, where I can't stand it.
Sometimes. How big is the bigger one?
Like, one is, like, maybe a C-cup, and the other one's a B.
Where's the pain?
It's in the larger one.
But where, all throughout it?
Like on the bottom part.
Bottom part. Do you wear underwire bras?
Yes.
Does the bra fit the B size a little better?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why you're getting pain.
Okay.
You gotta wear something that fits the C better, okay?
You can move up to the C and stuff the B.
Okay.
And the underwire might be digging in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you go overwire. That's my move. All right?
All right,
baby. Take care.
Thank you.
Yeah. I can't stop thinking about that information that chicks give you that you don't need. You know, listen.
I can't even think about it because the feeling that comes with that
right.
is so unpleasant.
Here's all the mistakes, guys. First off, don't start getting into those story trading things with the chicks. They'll always trump yours. You know why they'll trump yours? Because they're a chick. And what I mean is...
If you were a chick, you could trump her.
What I'm saying is you'll get into that story. You know that story? You've been dating for about 3 or 4 weeks. You've gotten it on a couple of times. Where's the craziest place you ever made love? And you're like, once I did it on my parents' service porch when they were out of town. And you're like, what about you? And they're like, pool table, Hell's Angel Bar. And you're like, oh, no. Yeah, it was a couple guys. All right. No more. Yeah, one guy used a pool cue on it. He used a stick on it. No.
Mommy.
You get into that or you get into, like, what position do you like? I mean, is this one of your good positions? Oh, yeah, this is, I love that. Well, I don't do dog anymore. Oh, yeah, why not? Some guy named Kurt, like, well, he was pretty big, and he used to like to do that amyl nitrate while he was, you know, he'd pop those things.
He used to scare me.
He was on me, and it kind of scared me, and he hurt me. He hurt me pretty good. And then I found out he videotaped the whole thing, and he never gave it back. So, and Lord knows, him and his buddies still watching, he can burn in hell. And you're like,
But wouldn't you agree that by around at 35, guys kind of catch up?
Yeah, by 35.
Single.
35 chicks like, listen, I blew a rugby team week before I met you. Like, yeah, yeah, all right, fine, good, good. I banged a prostitute when I was in Mexico. Fine, man. We even? You want more? Are you good? Did you do? Did you nail one of my friends? Yeah, I nailed all of them. Fine. I banged a few of their girlfriends and one of their moms. We're good? You want more? You're okay? Good. Let's watch more TV. Just forget about it. I know. Your young ass, all those retarded questions, never ends, and it just hurts right in your gut.
Ugh.
Right in your gut. Oh, oh. Mm-hmm. One of my first girlfriends had a boyfriend who, like, raped her. It was like, wasn't really... Hey, you know, rape, you know. It wasn't like
sex.
It wasn't like a stiletto. It was like he did this. And she could always talk about it, you know. And it was always like an issue, you know. It would always come up, you know. And he
You had
did
no
this.
Empathy for raping back then, did
like,
you?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh. Yeah, he raped you. And you know what? He raped me, too. Now I'm being raped. Thanks a lot. I don't blame the guy for raping her. I blame her for telling me about the rape.
Mm.
See, that's mature. That's the essence of maturity.
Nice.
You are an asshole.
All right, we're going to take a little commercial rape, and we'll be back after this.
Oh, yeah. Everybody now. Yes, I will be right back in a minute.
Loveline will be right back.
Well, there you have it. Another fantabulous episode of Loveline. And I want to thank our guest, Dr. Drew, for coming by the studio, staying
thank
both
you.
Hours.
I'd like to come back.
Well, we'll have you back. And we usually wait about 6 months before we turn over, but we'll have you back. You can plug or whenever you have a project, a lecture, another book, or one of these things that come a calendar or something coming out. Feel free to come on the show and plug that.
My calendar will be coming out soon, yes.
It was nice. I've seen you at the MTV stuff, but it was nice seeing you in person. You're a little taller. You're a little heavier than I imagined. And older than I thought, too. And a little gassier. But it was good to see you. I want to thank Lauren and Lauren's mom for coming in tonight, doing a wonderful job sitting there distracting me the entire show with that feminine presence. And, of course, Anderson. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for... possible new partner. Oh, and Lit tomorrow night, everyone.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I love you too, man.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.